Blog Talk Radio.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Seven with my physical heaven, manifest God like a reverend. It was done in the past, blessed by the first and last. With the blind left Sodom with the blast, harassed by Romans, perverted, converted, inserted in scrolls. You read it, you heard it, converted, murdered, asserted to justify the men you crucified. Now I revert it. War rock, raise the sun. It had to be done. Sheep catch it for slaughter. Nowhere to run, lost in the wilderness. A ghost fell there under summon from the house of death. Eighth wonder, embodied in son of James. Break the peninsula, the rap map flat. I made it perpendicular. Form right angle, I strangled this mic. Untangled the cord,
wing my sword.
Star spangled banner. In a warrior's manner, cutting heads off snakes. Immortalized like Highlander, move like seven spirits across seven seas. Bringing seven plagues, I'm deadly like incurable disease. Swarming license leaves on dirty bitches. Burning bitches in a dog fight tonight if they live. Send them in stitches, my hand itches. Grab a pen, begin writing blotting glitches. Eight wonder, thunder again switches. Warlocks and a priest of the beast. Eight wonder, rip your scriptures, your shackles release. Grab your tablets of destiny, equipped with the weaponry. Son, hold your ground, don't test me. I rhyme warlocks and a priest of the beast. Eight wonder, rip your scriptures, your shackles release. Grab your tablets of destiny, equipped with the weaponry. Son, hold your ground, don't test me. Eight wonder.
Let's begin with the proclamation. For there can be no faith more true or just than to know the things that are, to acknowledge thanks for all things to the one that made them, thing I will not cease continually to do. Hat Eden Amen, which translates into all praise be to Amen. Good Heru Amen fam, you're tuned into another episode of Amani Speaks. I am your host, Amen Ray Minnethout. Today's episode is titled Realness. The quote of today's show comes from the Nitir Sesson, Book 7, verses 22 through 24, and they go as follows. And since this mortal form is daily changed and turned by this time into increase and diminution as being falsehood, what therefore is true, O Tahuti? Tahuti answers, that, O son, which is not troubled nor bounded, not colored, not figured, not changed, only of itself, unalterable, divine. Then Imhotep responds, now I am mad indeed, father, for when I thought me to have been made a wise man by you, with these thoughts you have dulled all my senses. And that's the end quote. When I think of realness, I remembered growing up that I always thought what was on the streets was hot, and that's what I looked for guidance. In other words, I looked for the streets to see myself in it. And the Book of Life also states in another chapter that to look into this world to find yourself, all you will find is illusion. In other words, what you find will be fake. It will not be real. And I often see young people growing up in this world, they want to understand what this place is about. And so, just like when I did, and like many others do when they're younger, they look at the streets because they feel what's going on in the world is going on in the streets. So that's real. And that can be so far from the truth. There's nothing real going out on the streets. That's just people chasing illusions. Misguided chasing illusions. That's what the streets are. when you look out on the streets, doesn't matter what time it is, it's all still the same. You have lost souls chasing dreams and illusions, living fast, not realizing that because they're speeding this fast food lifestyle is what I use, what I call it. This, you know, fast full thrust, no holds barred kind of lifestyle. And you see people that do that, they burn out real fast. They don't live full lives. They're not productive. They're full of strife and torment. And they crash and burn real early. I mean, this doesn't apply to the people I'm about to mention. I remember friends growing up that are no longer with us. And each of them, I could see that they bought into this in the streets is where the realness is. I can see it in them. One of my friends asked me to rob a liquor store with him on Flatbush Avenue. And I know we was talking on the phone, and he mentioned it, and I said, "Nah, man, you crazy. Come on, man, yo, you scared?" You know, that was his response. I said, "It has nothing to do with being scared. I just think it's stupid." And some people would translate my response as being scared. "That's not real, man. You know, you got to be a real soldier out here, man. You can't be scared." And go, it's not me being scared. It's me thinking that it's stupid. I'm thinking, you know, what is the possible outcomes of an event? We can shoot somebody, or one of us, or both of us can get shot over something that's petty. It's not going to change our lives any. You know, that's what I was thinking back then. Still feel the same way now. Now, I was watching some video earlier. I think it was Brand Nubian's Punks Jump Up to Get Beat Down. An old jam they had back in the early 90s. And one of the verses, they was talking about dude try to rob him and he, you know, beat him down, etc. But you see, this is what's going on the streets. Didn't just start. It's been going on for time immemorial. People on the street chasing fantasies, chasing illusions, thinking that it's going to change their life, get them over the hump, and it end up setting them back even more. But, you know, this is the realness that they always talking about. You know, they push this in hip-hop so much. Not everyone. I usually say it's the fake-ass dudes, excuse my French, but it's the fake ones that push this kind of so-called lifestyle, so-called getting over on people. "Yeah, man, I had to rob this dude to see if I still had my skills." Yeah, right, whatever. Sit your fake-ass down, excuse my French. But this is what is perceived as to be real to us. It's the dumb shit that go on the streets. You know, this is supposed to be real, and it's not. It's really lost souls chasing illusions. That's really what it is. Lost souls chasing illusions. You know, um, when I think back to those times in my childhood, some of the dudes that I was running with, not all of them, you know, when I thought they was one person and they turned out to be someone else. And sometimes it was my fault. Sometimes it was them concealing who they really were, because they are not real. That's what I'm trying to get to here, is that we meet people in our lives who conceal who they really are. And they like to duck and hide that from people. And these are the ones I say that are not real. These are the fake, fraudulent people out there. It's a few of them. Some would say it's many of them. I say all of this to make the point that this world is full of illusion and trickery, full of fake and fraudulent people. And unfortunately, many of us believe that this is real. These falsehoods and illusions are real and true. Some will even say good. Unfortunately, there is no good here in this world. It doesn't exist here. And many would say, whoa, hold up, Amin Ray. How can you say that? There's no good here. And my answer would be, you say things are good because you don't truly understand or understand what good truly is. In other words, you're chasing illusions. You're not chasing the realness. You're chasing falsehood and illusions. I'm going to read a little bit of Book 7 of the Nitya Sasan. It's titled, this chapter is titled, His Secret Sermon on the Mount. And what I'm going to read is the conversation between Tahuti and his son Imhotep. And it goes as follows. Imhotep states, "In the general speeches, O Father, discoursing the divinity, you speak enigmatically and did not clearly reveal yourself, saying that no man can be saved before regeneration. And when I did humbly beg you at the going up the mountain after you had discoursed to me, having a great desire to learn this argument of regeneration, because among all the rest I am ignorant only of this, you told me you would impart it to me when I would estrange myself from the world. And after which I made myself ready and have vindicated the understanding that is in me from the deceit of the world. Now then, fulfill my defects, and as you said, instruct me of regeneration, either by word of mouth or secretly. For I do not know, O Tahuti, of what substance or what womb or what seed a man is born." Tahuti responds, "O son, this wisdom is to be understood in silence. In the seed is the true good." Imhotep asks, "Who sows it, O Father? For I am utterly ignorant and doubtful." Tahuti answers, "The will of Amen, O son. In what manner of man is he that is born so? For in this point I am clean deprived of the essence that understands in me." Tahuti answers, "The son of Amen will be another. Amen made the universe that in everything consists of all powers." Yeah, actually, I'm reading where the Christian story comes from, but I'll continue. Imhotep asks, or says, "You tell me a riddle, Father, and do not speak as a father to a son." Tahuti says, "Son, things of this kind are not taught, but are by Amen, when he pleases, brought to remembrance." Imhotep says, "You speak of things strange or far-fetched and impossible, Father, and therefore I will directly contradict them." Do you want to prove a stranger, son, to your father's kind? Do not envy me, father, or pardon me. I am your natural son. Discourse to me the manner of regeneration. To Hudi says, what shall I say, O my son? I have nothing to say more than this, that I see in myself an unfeigned sight or spectacle made by the mercy of Amen, and I am gone out of myself to an immortal body, and am right now what I was before, but was begotten in mine. This thing is not taught, nor is to be seen in this formed element, for which the first compound form was neglected by me, and that I am now separated from it. For I have both the touch and measure of it, yet am I now estranged from them. You see, O son, with your eyes, but though you look never so steadfastly at me with the body and bodily sight, you cannot see nor understand what I am now. Imhotep says, you have driven me, O father, into no small fury and distraction of mine, for I do not now see myself. Tahuti answers, I wish, O son, that you also were gone out of yourself like them that dream in their sleep. Imhotep asks, then tell me this, who is the author and maker of regeneration? Tahuti answers, the child of Amen, one man by the will of Amen. And I'll stop right there. I often on this show speak about regeneration, and regeneration is what in our Christian church is called being reborn in the spirit. It's the same thing. However, I know that in the church, they do not clearly explain what that means. They just tell you that it's something that happens in the afterlife. View any indication that it's actually something that you can do right now. The first step to this is you have to see the illusions that this world keeps generating. What you see with your eyes are generated illusions. It's not real. And so a lot of the operations amongst men are illusions and falsehoods. It's not real. For example, what we are consumed with most of our lives, generating money to support the living that we have. But yet we don't understand that money is falsehood, money is an illusion. And what I mean by that is merely that in this country, while federal, or I should say central banks all across the world, generate money out of thin air, and the reason why money works and controls the general populace is because the general populace believe that it's real. Just like I have a bill and I give you this bill in exchange for some kind of good or service. And you believe this bill is worth something as I believe it's worth something. And the fact that we believe that this bill is worth something makes it real to us. But it's not. It has no true value. I know some people go, well, when the dollars were exchanged or backed by gold, that made them real. No, it didn't. Again, that's a falsehood. Whether the dollar is backed by gold or is backed by nothing, it's still not real. It's something that was created to control the general populace. It's that simple. It's not real. But most of us are under the impression that money is real. Life says that fame is not real. And so many of us fantasize about being famous when we grow up. Or when we are grown, we still carry that idea of becoming famous. That if we're famous, all our problems will go away. That's a falsehood, of course. Because, like money, fame is also another illusion of this world. It doesn't take your problems away. It actually increases them. Just like money increases your problems, because whatever problems that you have, when you have more money and you have more fame, that problem increases and intensifies. But so many of us are under the impression that the opposite happens, that it takes the problem away. For an example would be if I was rich and famous, that my bills would go away. I don't have to worry about bills anymore. And as I said before, it's an illusion. That's not true. Actually, you have more bills. The more money you make, the more bills you create for yourself. And some people will argue that's not true. And I beg to differ. I say, look at the famous people. Look at the rich people that's in front of us today. Look at all the problems that they have. Because, like poor people, they thought that money would take away their problems. And it didn't. It just made more of them. Because they didn't realize that the problem has always been in the way they thought. Their actions that are carried out by the way they thought or the way they think. This is where the problem creates. It's in your thinking. That's where the problem starts. That's where the problem ends. If you're listening to this show today and you're thinking about the plethora of problems that you may have in your life, and you say to yourself, I'm tired of having so many problems, I want to change them. Good for you. But understand or overstand or understand that those problems are not going to go away simply because you become rich or you become famous. Actually, you'll make those problems even bigger when you become rich and you become famous. Because the problem is generally in your thoughts. The way you think right now is creating the problems in your life right now. And to change those problems, you have to change your thoughts. Not make more money. Not become famous. That's why fame and fortune is an illusion of this world. It doesn't solve issues. It doesn't solve problems. It's more of them if you do not change your thoughts. Because it's your thoughts that are creating the problems in your life right now. So many of us, we don't want to hear this. We don't want to hear the real. We want to get caught up and live through our illusions and just run round and around and around like a rat in a cage, running through one of those, I forgot what they call those little wheels that they jump on, and the rat's just running and running but going nowhere. It's like that rat in a cage. Most of us, we become caged in our mind, caged in our thoughts, caged in the illusions, in the fake stuff of this world. Because a lot of us don't want to face the real. We don't want the realness. Or we think we have the real because we look at what's in front of us, what's going on, what's hot and what's not on the streets, like the streets are real. And it's not. It's full of falsehood and fakeness. You know, the so-called friends that we're meeting on the streets, and sooner or later we come to find out that this person ain't real, that person ain't real. You know, they was hiding themselves for whatever reason. Maybe they thought that making an acquaintance with you would help them get somewhere. Maybe. And so many of us getting friends and breaking with friends because we find out sooner or later that they was being fake to us in some shape, form, or fashion. I know with me that when that happens, I usually just go about my way. I can remember when I left New York when I was a teenager, and I was talking to my grandmother on the phone one day, and she said, "Did you make any new friends?" I'm not talking about your cousins. I'm talking about people that you're not related to. And I said, honestly, it seems like everyone I meet, I don't think that I'm related to them. And then some way, somehow, I find out that through some connection that I am related to them. So I guess the answer is no. And, you know, my grandmother used to emphasize to me how important it is for me to make friends. And I admit, I've been told ever since I was a teenager that I'm just antisocial. I don't make friends. The live feed is about to end. If you'd like to hear the rest of this discourse, please dial into 424-222-5376. Again, that's 424-222-5376. If you can't dial in, I will say, first, I'm in. Secondly, the world. Thirdly, man. Hotep. For those listening on the phone in playback, I will continue. So my grandmother used to say to me that it was so important for me to make friends, and I said, "I hear what you're saying, but nah, I don't think so." And I admit, I was, and pretty much still am, very antisocial. It isn't a priority of mine to make new friends every day. Now, some people may say, "Oh, that's being stuck up." And I'm saying, it's not because I feel that I'm better than anybody. I just don't want the problems. It's basically what it comes down to. I don't want the problems. It's a headache. And I don't want to be bothered with it. But at the same time, you know, because I say I'm antisocial, a lot of people perceive me as being very shy. And I'm not. I'm not shy at all. I just won't talk to you. If I don't know you, I won't talk to you because I don't know you. It's that simple. You know, growing up in New York, you don't want to be friends with everyone you meet because they're not who you think they are. A lot of cases, they're not who you think they are. Because a lot of us to hide certain things about ourselves around certain people for whatever reason. I remember one of my friends told me a while back, he said that Yo, bro, man, all the people I met, man, you the only one that really haven't changed. And I didn't say it, but I was thinking, because I'm real. That's all that it is. Who I am today, I'm going to be the same person tomorrow. They change it. I mean, sometimes there's certain events in our life that we see errors in our way and we correct them. And I'm not too stupid or uptight to think that I don't make mistakes, that I can't correct myself the next day. Time. I pretty much like who I was yesterday. And so I'm going to be that person today. And it's not about being conceited or full of myself. It's not about that. It is what I'm comfortable with. I'm comfortable being that person that I was yesterday. I'm going to be that person today because I'm comfortable with it. I'm comfortable with myself and who I am. That's all that I'm saying. To me, that's what realness is about. Actually, I didn't learn it from the Nitir Sassen, but it confirmed what I was already feeling within myself. When I read the Nitir Sassen, that it was talking about Amen. Amen never changes. I am an offspring of Amen, so why should I change? That's what I told myself when I read that. I said, so I'm on the right track. Creator of the universe. I mean, that's a perfect example of what I should be all the days of my life, is the creator of the universe. Oh, that's blasphemy. You cannot be the creator of the universe. And then I grew up in New York around gods and earths. And one of my cousins was a 5%er, and, you know, he always used to talk about some of the mathematics of the gods. And I sit there and I listen, and I didn't think it was crazy. I didn't understand it back then, but I didn't think it was crazy. I actually thought it was enlightening, because when I was growing up, whatever was going on in the streets, I thought that was the real. I mean, today, of course, I studied where that came from, and we all know Clarence 13X, Side of the Nation of Islam, one of the understudies of Malcolm X, that brought it out into New York in the mid-60s, when he broke away from the Nation of Islam. And some of those teachings, I still use them today. I was never a 5%er, but I still use some of those teachings. Like I said, my cousin was a 5%er, so I heard a lot of it from him. And a couple of dudes around my block, they were 5%ers also. No, I don't talk the lingo. Funny thing, when some of the things my cousin would say to me, I just seemed to understand it and go, yeah, you're right. And so that became real to me. You know, at the same time, I remember when I was growing up, sometimes my grandmother would try to keep us going to church. You know, it didn't end up that way, but, you know, we would go to church sometimes, and I used to remember sitting in the church and giving his sermon, and I'm looking around, and all the people my age, you know, they all laughing, giggling, playing, nobody's paying attention. They only seemed to pay attention when people started singing, and they wanted to all sing along and dance and shout or whatever. You know, you had a couple of kids in the church that would shout to try to get the attention of the adults. You know, they liked the adults to go, oh, baby's filled with the Holy Ghost. So, you know, they would shout and, you know, go and to their routine just to get the attention of the adults. I never thought it was real, but I didn't say anything. But I knew they wasn't being real. I knew it was all fake. They was just trying to get people's attention. Maybe they wasn't getting attention at home, so that was their way of getting attention. You know, I personally, I never seen shouting as a way of doing anything. I know some people that go through that experience, you know, they, you know, say something miraculous happens to them. Who am I to say that it doesn't? I never been through it, so I wouldn't know. And I remember I was explaining to my dad, I was saying that I always thought that that stuff was fake. I didn't believe in it. But, you know, there was times when I can say I felt cessing within me. And no, I wasn't jumping up and down and talking in tongues or anything like that. It's nothing remotely close to that. But I remember those times that when that feeling came over me and I would think about the problems that was in front of me that day and all the answers would just be popping up and I'd be like, wow, what's going on? And I remember how good I felt when I was finding those problems. And, you know, to me, that is how I describe that is the, I don't want to sound crazy, but when Sesson comes within you, that's when I read it in the Neter Sesson, I didn't know what it was talking about. But then I began to think about what was happening to me, and I was like, it is happening to me. Oh, that's what it is. It's nothing spooky. It's nothing scary. It's nothing crazy. It's nothing weird. We're all capable of it. We're all capable of it. But, you know, some people don't experience it merely because they don't believe in it. So they're not going to experience it if they don't believe in it. You know, I had a dividing of the road with people when I start talking about this. You know, it was giving me those looks like, oh, man, you crazy, man. And my response to that is usually I would say, well, they think I'm crazy. Well, I'm crazy to them. Let it be crazy. But it doesn't mean because they don't experience it that it's not real to me. Just like those people shouting, some of them shouting in church, because what they went through haven't happened to me, it doesn't mean that it's not real to them. And so when I think about realness, now, realness is not what other people say it's real that you've never experienced yourself. It's not real to you because you never experienced it. And when I think about things like that, I think about the Gnostic teachings, how I believe in something because I experienced it. It's not what I believe. It's I know it because I experienced it. It's mine. It's something I own. It's real to me. And when I began to read that about Gnosticism, you know, I said, kept looking into it. I said, hey, there's something to this. When I hear people talk about, you know, you need to believe this because I believe that. And my response is usually so. Just because you believe doesn't mean that it is to other people. And some may say I'm contradicting myself after what I just said, because other people have an experience, Sesson, that Sesson isn't real to them, but it's real to me, but it's not real to them. And so what I just said contradicts that. No, it doesn't. Doesn't at all. As I'm sure that anybody can experience Sesson when they come into the right mind. Like Tahuti said to his son, it's not something that's taught. It's not something that you can see. But it's something given to you by the will of Amen. And this day, becoming what they call this day, the revealing or the separation. Because some of us are experiencing some real things and some other people can't seem to comprehend it. And if you're one of those that are experiencing something very unique, unfortunately others can't comprehend it, I say to you, don't worry about it. The realness through. Don't get caught up into the gossip that's going on in the streets. Because what's going on out there is not real anyway. It's illusions. Illusions and falsehood. That's what the streets are. That's what the streets always been. And that's what the streets will always be. First, Amen. Secondly, the world. Thirdly, man. Hotep.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.